Welcome to Bobcat Radio on KTSW San Marcos.
Don't read handoff. Frank's got room across the 40. Running right inside the
30. Hyatt, another round around third. Lincoln sliding into third base. A triple. Scores two runs in the Bobcats. Now lead it.
Get that one swung on. Head out towards left field. That ball is going back to the wall. And that ball's gone.
A grand slam from Corbin.
Two runs in the Bobcats. Now lead it. 9-8 here in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Good morning and welcome to your Wednesday edition of Bobcat Radio. I'm your host, Ishmael Johnson. Got a full house, the usual crew, Warren Shore.
How's it going? How's it going?
It's going good. Kirk Jones.
How's everybody doing?
And back, he's on his little new schedule now, Otis Evagaru.
What's up?
And we got some good talks. We had an exciting game last night in Bobcat Baseball. We got some March Madness opening day recap, or opening weekend, I should say, recap of baseball. And if you want to get involved with the show a little bit, we have our Twitter handle, at KTSW Sports. If you have a good question or a good comment, or if one of us slips up on a statistic or something, you want to make a correction to us, feel free to hit us up. That is at KTSW Sports on Twitter, all one word. And we might give you a little shout-out if it's a very good correction, very good question, we might give you a shout-out. Anyway, let's start with the name drop. Mine's Stephon Marbury. He led the Beijing Ducks to their second title, and I gotta shout him out because he's like Jordan over there. I don't know if you guys saw the photos of them winning the title, but he is bawling his eyes out. He's so happy that he's hoisting the trophy again with his teammates, and I think it's also the first time in 7 years something Ejean Leon's team didn't make the finals. But he's gotten, the last time we saw him here in America, he was like stuffing Vaseline in his mouth and on Ustream, I don't know if you guys remember those live videos, and struggling to make the Boston Celtics roster. He's gone over to China, resurrected his career, and I'm happy for him because he's, like I said, he was struggling here, and he's like an icon over there right now, leading him to I don't know if it was two straight or 2 and 3 years, I can't remember, but the Beijing Ducks now, he's their go-to guy. He's 37.
Rockin' Starberries?
Yeah, rockin'. The only one in the world rocking Starberry still. But, you know, he's
a global. What was the store that sold them, like that college store? Do you remember what I'm talking about? They went out of business. I got a lot of shirts there.
Yeah. Was it?
I can't remember. They went out of business. But they were like the big Starberry supplier.
Starberries, man. It was. I remember Starberry. I actually had a pair of Starberries.
I did not.
I rocked them very proudly. But, yeah, so Stephon Marbury. Is my name drop.
All right, I got two, but just quickly, Tiger out of the Masters. I know we're not going to talk about that because it's not on here, but I just want to bring that up. Really devastating for us Tiger supporters. He's a bigger Tiger fan than me. He said he was going to get off Twitter for a couple of hours yesterday because everyone was railing on him, and he needed to just regroup himself. I'm wearing my red Tiger Woods golf shirt today in studio in support of him after his back surgery yesterday. Hopefully he comes back for the U.S. Open, but my name drop, Grady Sizemore, he made the opening day roster with the Red Sox, and he has, like, been the king of the microfracture knee surgeries. He's had three. When he was with the Indians up until 2011. The last game he played before Monday was September, like, 13th in 2011, and he always tried to come back. I mean, he was one of the best players in the game in, like, that 2000.
He was MVP. Like, he was in the race for MVP every year on those.
Yeah, he was one of the best players in the game at that time. And then his style that he was playing, just going in the walls and everything, just hurt him bad. So then he made his debut on Monday night, and he went 2-for-4. His first two at-bats, single, and then the second at-bat was a home run. And I'll just say Cleveland Twitter, when he hit the home run, was like, oh, God, here we go. Here's Sizemore hitting home runs, doing everything that he couldn't do there. I was actually healthy and everything. But, no, I actually feel good. I'm happy for him. The guy worked hard in spring training, it sounds like. And he just needed a fresh start, I guess. But I hope the question is, though, when is he going to get hurt? He's going to get hurt sooner or later. So, but just when is he going to get hurt? That's the clock's ticking. Hopefully he doesn't, but he probably will.
All right, my name drop's going to be Freddie Freeman. You know, he came in last year. He was top three at MVP. And he hit two home runs last night to beat the Brewers, where he hit 111. In the past 10 games, he said that he just struggles in that ballpark, hit two home runs, got the Braves the win. And the Braves are my dark horse team to maybe make it to the World Series. Their pitching is really injured right now, but I think Freddie Freeman in that lineup, I think they have the offense to carry him to as far as they want, as far as they can go.
They need the offense to carry him because they have like two guys out, with Tommy John, Chris Medlin, and
Brandon Beachy.
Yeah,
and they're both good pitchers too.
They need Teron. He's solid.
Solid. I like him. I think he could be an MVP this year.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, opening day is really exciting. Stroh's got a win on April Fool's Day, so they probably fooled a lot of people yesterday, which is okay. But glad to see them do that and an opening day kickoff. But surprisingly, my name drop's not going to be in the MLB. It's going to be in the NFL. I thought there was a lot of guys that we could have named, but for me, especially, it's Richard Sherman. He wrote an article on Monday Morning Quarterback, and it just actually came out this morning. And I'm going to read an excerpt about him talking about the Eagles and how they were wrong in letting go DeSean Jackson. Said this offseason they, as the Eagles, re-signed a player who was caught on video screaming, "I will fight every N-word here." He was representing the Philadelphia Eagles when he said it, because, of course, everything we do is reflective of the organization. But what did they do to Riley Cooper, who, if he's not a racist, at least has ties to the racist activity? They find him and send him to counseling. No suspension necessary for Cooper, no punishment from the NFL. Despite its new interest in policing our use of the N-word on the field, Riley instead got a few days off from training camp and a nice contract in the offseason. Point well taken there, Mr. Sherman.
I wish the Eagles, like, I didn't have a problem with the Eagles releasing him, but they did not have to go out and say it was because of his character. It was money. Let's face it, he was making I think it was money. He was making too much money, and they weren't happy with his they weren't happy with his practice demeanor. They said he didn't put a lot of effort into practice. They said he had work ethic issues. That whole smear campaign, it was mostly about money, and they weren't happy with how he was with the team. Not necessarily how he represented himself, because didn't the LAPD come out and say
they did. No, I think his attitude.
No, that's the thing. Like, his attitude as far as, like, work ethic and things like that.
That's why I think they...
And money. Not this whole, they're worried about his character. They're gonna drag him through the mud, and thus, he still got a lot of contact from teams before he signed with the Redskins. But I wish the primary reason was money, and they didn't like the way he was with the team. Not necessarily his friends. I don't think that way. But they don't want to say that. They wanted to say, oh, here's some news that came out. This is why we released him. And the Eagles are the one team that really couldn't do that at this point, with the way they handled Riley Cooper and bringing in Michael Vick, after that conviction. So,
I think it's Chip Kelly's way or the highway there, pretty much. And they didn't. I read that article, like the NJ.com article, about like him and the gangs and everything. And it said pretty much that he didn't get along with Chip Kelly. And I just think that's ended up being why he got cut, because Chip Kelly wants to run everything so scripted. Like, he even brought in nutrition, took out all the fast food for the unhealthy food there, just took it out of the facility. Everything he does is so scripted and everything because of what he did at Oregon. And if someone doesn't get along, or they, like, butt heads, which is what DeSean and Chip Kelly did allegedly, I just think he had enough of it, and they said adios.
I'd like to agree with both of you, but I don't. I disagree. I think the gang affiliation is a big deal. I think the NFL is dealing with an image problem right now because of how many guys are getting in trouble. Let's not forget Aaron Hernandez just happened a year ago. Teams are wary of this. I think it speaks volumes that they signed Darren Sproles to the contract they did because they knew something was up with DeSean Jackson. I know the money is there. I know his work ethic and attitude and stuff like that, but every team has that guy. And it's not like some new thing in the NFL. I think the gang thing really, really set off some people, and I think that I agree with Richard Sherman. If Riley Cooper can use the N-word, does that mean he's tied to racist activities now? Does that mean that he is a member of the KKK? No, it does not. Let's not forget where DeSean Jackson grew up. He grew up in L.A. He grew up in Watts. So you're not going to forget your neighborhood. You're not going to forget the guys that brought you to where you are, because that's who you came up with. That's his family. And I think the Eagles got wary of it. I do think that, the not getting along with Chip Kelly had something to do with it, and the money a little bit. But I'm telling you, that the gang thing, I think, scared a lot of people, and I think it rubbed the Eagles the wrong way, and they got rid of them.
And I think that, I don't blame Chip Kelly, because Chip Kelly has dealt with this through even at Oregon. I mean, he went to California and got guys from California that were – just as bad as DeSean Jackson, that probably had more gang ties than he did. So, I mean, it's not like it wasn't really Chip Kelly's fault. And I don't think DeSean Jackson's that bad of a guy because he would do charities. You know, he does charities in Philadelphia. I was reading places where he would was in like a Big Brother program, mentored young kids. So, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell. I think the media kind of points you in the direction you want to look at, but I don't know. It'll be interesting if the truth ever does come out.